Today we're reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, the graduate study to even Srimad Bhagavatam. And we'll discuss the section right after Lord Chaitanya points out to Sanatana Goswami that how can you think of committing suicide when your body belongs to me and I have so many purposes to accomplish with your body. Sanatana Goswami thought he had a suitable reason for getting rid of his body because it was covered with itching, weeping sores, and Lord Chaitanya would keep embracing him in the ecstasy of pure love of Krishna, and so Sanatana Goswami felt so abominable. How could the pus and fluids from my sores smear all over the body of the Lord as he embraces me? This is horrible. Best I commit suicide. But Lord Chaitanya is pointing out, I have so many things to do through you, excavating the lost places of pilgrimage in Vrindavan, compiling scriptures explaining the proper behavior of a devotee, the proper regulations of devotional service. And so Lord Chaitanya turns to Haridas Thakur, the Acharya of the Holy Name, and says, what do you think of this? Someone wanting to expropriate property that doesn't belong to him, but belongs to someone else. And Haridas Thakur replied that, who can understand the depths of your purposes? We simply have to wait for you to reveal what each one of us is to do, because otherwise it's not possible to understand the depths of your intentions. After Lord Chaitanya departs, we want to focus on how Haridas Thakur and Sanatana Goswami are congratulating one another. You are the most fortunate devotee. We can read. My dear Sanatan, Haridas Thakur said, embracing him, no one can find the limits of your good fortune. It's a wonderful thing to say to devotees. Appreciating devotees is one of the great sports and thrills in life. Once we rise above familiarity and material conceptions of devotees, even beginning devotees, we then can swim in the nectar of devotee appreciation. And this dialogue between Haridas Thakur and Sanatana Goswami will inspire you in one of the highest pleasures of life, glorifying devotees, appreciating devotees. So each devotee always thinks the others are more fortunate, the others are more qualified. As we've explained so many times, such a tendency, such a syndrome is indeed the symptom of pure love of Krishna. As also explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita, no matter how advanced a devotee is in love of Krishna, he always thinks, the others are so much more qualified. I have nothing at all. This is not some kind of put-on or just some kind of contrivance. It is indeed part of the package of love of Krishna, that you feel others are so much more qualified. We can get a taste of that whole package just by hearing and seriously considering and contemplating the way Haridas Thakur, Sanatana Goswami, felt that each one was the fortunate one. First you hear Haridas Thakur saying, "My dear Sanatan," and he's embracing him. "No one can find the limits of your good fortune." This world makes us so doggishly individualistic as we run in the rat race, and it's just each person for himself, herself. So we must get over that conditioning and learn to relish the association of devotees and the good qualities of other devotees, rather than just simply be absorbed in meditation on ourself. How am I feeling? How are my desires being fulfilled? That's a miserly existence. Me and mine. Whereas in this example, between Sanatan Goswami and Haridas Thakur, you're seeing, you're tasting, you're experiencing the nectar of devotee relationships. Haridas Thakur goes on to explain, "Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has accepted your body as his own property. Therefore, no one can equal you in good fortune. What Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu cannot do with his personal body, he wants to do through you, and he wants to do it in Mathura." Can recall how Lord Chaitanya told Sanatana Goswami, "I have so many things to do through you. Reestablishing Vrindavan, writing the proper codes of behavior in Vrindavan. How can you give up your body?" Vrindavan is the eternal abode of the Lord's pastimes, but the real Vrindavan cannot be seen by material vision. You simply see, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes, a film of maya, the material energy, which covers the spiritual glories of Vrindavan, the holy abode of the Lord, which is an exact replica of the topmost portion of the spiritual world, Goloka Vrindavan. Just like a country has an embassy in another country, and within the walls of that embassy, all the rules of the country apply, even though the embassy is in another country. I remember during my days of trying to distribute Krishna consciousness underground in communist Europe, I remember seeing the American embassy in East Berlin. When the Berlin Wall was there, it was for a few blocks surrounding it. There were police everywhere, questioning anyone who got within a couple of blocks of the embassy, because the police knew if they get inside the embassy, they can declare themselves refugees. Because inside the embassy, the laws of East Germany don't apply. So they have police all surrounding the place. And turning back anyone except, of course, citizens of other countries who had some business at the embassy. And of course, the people were always trying to scheme ways to get into the embassy, ask for refugee status. So they knew once they're inside, that material example of embassies in another country is an example to help us understand how Vrindavan is the replica, the embassy of the topmost portion of the spiritual world. It's in the material world. To ordinary vision, Vrindavan looks like just a small Indian town with all the chaos that Westerners identify with India. You're just seeing the material covering, the thin film on the surface. The real Vrindavan can only be seen with spiritual eyes. Just like the real Hare Krishna mantra can only be heard with spiritual ears. The deity can actually be seen only with spiritual eyes. Therefore, so much of our process is about purification. Without following an authorized process of purification, how can there be any genuine spiritual progress? Lord Chaitanya wanted Sanatana Goswami to firmly establish the Vrindavan reality. It's not that Vrindavan disappears. It's just that from time to time, its significance in the eyes of conditioned souls becomes lost. But it is the eternal place of the Lord's pastimes. And someone who is advanced up in Krishna consciousness can realize that. Just like when you take prasad, you realize, I've tasted these ingredients before, but there's something special about it. So even in your neophyte condition, when you go to the holy abodes of the Lord, Vrindavan, Mayapur is known as Gupta Vraj, hidden Vrindavan. There's actually no difference between the two. Just like Lord Chaitanya is the Channa avatar, as stated in 7th Canto of Bhagavatam. Lord Chaitanya is the hidden appearance of Krishna. Similarly, Mayapur is hidden Vrindavan. There's no difference between Mayapur and Vrindavan. One who goes there with a solid portfolio of devotional service can actually appreciate Vrindavan. But even a neophyte, upon entering Mayapur Vrindavan, feels inspired in Krishna consciousness. Without guidance, however, one can make offenses. That is the problem. For Vrindavan, particularly. Therefore, neophytes are recommended don't spend more than 3 days there because you're right up in Krishna's face, so to speak. Whereas hidden Vrindavan, Gupta Vraj, Mayapur, there Lord Chaitanya doesn't accept any offenses. Mundane persons think prasad is ordinary food. The representative of Krishna is ordinary person. The deity is made of wood or stone. Vrindavan is just some ordinary town. And the Hare Krishna mantra is just one of so many sounds you can vibrate. That's all the fuss about Hare Krishna. This is why Lord Chaitanya wanted Sanatana Goswami to compile the Bhakti Shastras, as explained in the prayer by Srinivasacharya, Nana Shastra Vika. And Vinosa Dharma, some stuff. The six Goswamis of Vrindavan scrutinizingly studied all the revealed scriptures and then wrote the essence. So in other words, it's not that they pulled it out of nowhere. They, if you look at Nectar Devotion, which is the summary study of Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami, the younger brother of Sanatana Goswami, you find references from so many scriptures. So that's what Rupa and Sanatana did. Made it more obvious for Kali Yuga what Bhakti Yoga is about. Because people don't have the philosophical capacity or time or lifespan in order to pick through all the shastras. This is not Goswami's best task. So Haridas Thakur continues to glorify Sanatana Goswami. Whatever the Supreme Personality of Godhead wants us to do will successfully be accomplished. This is your great fortune. That is my mature opinion. I can understand from the words of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he wants you to write books about the conclusive decision of devotional service, Bhakti Siddhanta, and about the regular principles ascertained from the revealed scriptures. Regular principles means proper behavior. You see, the whole world is suffering from a malady that affects those who are spiritually curious. They think that you can just do whatever you like, or that a spiritual practice comes out of nowhere and you take it up, and as long as you're a nice person, there'll be benefit. Why Lord Chaitanya, who is Krishna himself, wants Sanatana Goswami to take so much effort to compile the Bhakti Shastras by culling through all the revealed scriptures to make it obvious, is to show that everything has to be authorized. Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami's brother, says, Shruti Smriti Puranadi Pantarata Vidimba. Devotional service that is not in accordance with the Shastra, in accordance with the scriptures, is simply a disturbance to society. So as Arsachi Dulal can tell you, all over India, you'll find wonderfully nice people. But there's a malady there. Well, whatever you think is spiritual, whatever you think is nice, that's good. As many ways, as many goals, some or other goal becomes the same. This lack of discrimination, Srila Prabhupada points out, is what cripples the spiritual culture of India. Just like it's not enough to be a doctor based on good sentiments, I feel like I want to help others and heal others. No, the doctor has to have precise medical training and precise certification. So this is what Lord Chaitanya wants Sanatana Goswami to do. To firmly establish the precise certification and course of study. And Haridas Thakur is glorifying Sanatana Goswami. You have such a glorious task. You are the most fortunate. And then Haridas Thakur refers to himself. My body could not be used in the service of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, although it took birth in the land of India, this body has been useless. This is Haridas Thakur's humility. You know, I'm born in a Mohammedan family, I'm an outcast, I'm useless. Haridas Thakur, in this statement, besides showing his humility, is pointing out that the real purpose of taking birth in India is to become learned and astute, as Srila Prabhupada says in the purport. One who has taken his birth in the land of Bhartabhumi, India, should take full advantage of his birth. He should become completely well-versed in the knowledge of the Vedas and spiritual culture, and should distribute the experience of Krishna consciousness all over the world. So wherever you go in India, regardless of the effect of Western media and technology, especially wherever you go outside the cities, you find that Even an ordinary, uneducated person is inclined towards devotion. And as soon as he or she sees anyone who looks like a sadhu, they offer their obeisances. It's the discrimination that is missing, however, and that was Srila Prabhupada's point. Because of lack of discrimination, they're taken advantage of so many times. Here in this purport, we find a good message for us. People all over the world are madly engaging in sense gratification, and in this way spoiling their human lives with the risk that in the next life they may become animals or less. Human society should be saved from such a risky civilization and the danger of animalism by awakening to God consciousness, Krishna consciousness. The Krishna consciousness movement has been started for this purpose. Therefore, unbiased men of the highest echelon should study the principles of the Krishna consciousness movement and fully cooperate with this movement to save human society. Such a bold and powerful proclamation coming from the heart of pure devotion. As Srila Prabhupada said, his purports are his devotional ecstasies. So you can feel the ecstasies in such statements. The compassion, the depth of compassion so intense, it's ecstatic. It's something we can't realize in material existence. How compassion can become so intense, it becomes ecstatic. But the followers of Lord Chaitanya know about that. Because that compassion is wholly and purely involved with fulfilling the desires of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, that compassion becomes ecstatic. It's based on the greatest knowledge and the greatest ecstasy. Because Lord Chaitanya himself is reaching out to conditioned souls. So therefore, the servants of Lord Chaitanya follow in his footsteps. We pointed out the other day how in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, abandon all varieties of what you think is dharma. Give up all your concoctions. Sarvadharman prachaja. Mame kam sharanam prachaja. And just surrender to me. Surrender to Krishna means do what Krishna says. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna saying the same thing. How do you surrender to Krishna? Yare deko tare kohu Krishna upadesh. Wherever you go, whomever you meet, teach them Krishna upadesh, the instructions of Krishna. That's surrendering to Krishna. When Krishna came 5,000 years ago, in terms of manifesting his physical appearance, Krishna is always here, but he made himself visible to ordinary eyes. And gave those instructions in Bhagavad Gita. So simple, so direct, so clear. Still, people confuse themselves about those instructions in Bhagavad Gita. Oh, we all are Krishna. Or there's the unborn within Krishna. Everything is Krishna, so you can do everything. Whatever you think is right, that's Krishna consciousness. So clear and straightforward, Bhagavad Gita is. Still, conditioned souls made a mess of it. So then, Krishna comes as Lord Chaitanya to demonstrate how to be a devotee of Krishna. Now you may say, well, who is Lord Chaitanya? I mean, there's so many saints in India. Even you go to Bengal or Orissa, where Lord Chaitanya had most of his pastimes. So many people think he was a great social reformer, he was a great sadhu. They don't understand. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But then they anoint so many others as Bhagavan, as the Supreme. How do we know who is an avatar, who is an appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? All avatars are listed in the Vedic scriptures. So if someone presents themselves as an avatar, as Bhagavan, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, just ask, okay, I accept that because you're such a nice person. Now show me where it says in the Vedas, you know, where are you described? Lord Chaitanya is there. He's there in Mahabharata. He's there in Srimad Bhagavatam. He's there in the Upanishads. So it's not that the Hare Krishnas have just seized upon Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and yes, he is our God. It's not like that. Everything is authorized. Everything is scientific. So it is this scientific rigor and discipline that comes from being learned that gives the rigor to bhakti. Otherwise, it's sentiment. So therefore, in going to India, one has to be careful. You don't know what you're doing. You can really get blown off course. Without learning how to discriminate, without understanding what is bhakti siddhanta, the conclusions of the scriptures, you get bewildered. It's like you're going to, let's say, you've been in Wellington all your life and you go to Auckland and you start wandering around in South Auckland without knowing anything about it. Well, gee, I've heard about in the newspapers that there could be some crimes here. And I don't know. I'll just wander around and see what happens. And, I mean, you'll probably, you know, especially at the wrong time of night, be taken advantage of. This is why we are working so hard to give devotees knowledge so they can discriminate. And that was the task Lord Chaitanya wanted Sanatana Goswami to do, as well as his brother Rupa Goswami, to provide the firm scripturally scientific basis for bhakti. Make it clear. But in Kali Yuga, there's always the countering force of the material energy. Make everything unclear. Either you're an atheist, everything is matter. Or else you become airy-fairy spiritualist. Everything is spiritual in its own way. Precision is what love is about. That's what Lord Chaitanya is showing you. Love is precision. It's not that we can be so materially, scientifically precise. Like an engineer, a research scientist. But then when it comes to the technology of consciousness, well, the door's wide open, whatever. The love is the most precise thing. That's why you read in Nectar of Devotion in the second half about the proper combinations and improper combinations of various rasas. Nectar Devotion, the summary study of Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, presents the flavors of loving exchange between the Lord and his devotee. It's not just a willy-nilly, you know, whatever. No, everything is precise, and that's what makes the loving affairs so unlimitedly deep, because of the precision. This is something that's hard for us to understand. Love is precise. It's not just like you get a feeling of warm fuzzies. No, it is a precise exchange. And the more precise the exchange is, the more intense the love is. But such precision can't be experienced by conditioned souls. It's the material energy that just dissipates everything and just perverts everything. It's the curtain of Maya. So therefore you want to love, but something always gets in the way, in case you haven't noticed. You want to love, and that's a legitimate desire, because the spirit soul has this loving propensity. Loving propensity, pleasure-seeking propensity, same thing. Krishna has his Ladini Shakti. He has his various potencies, as the Upanishads say, Parasya Shakti Vividaya Vishuyate. The Supreme Absolute Truth has multifarious potencies. So one of Krishna's potencies is Ladini Shakti. That's his personal pleasure potency. That potency provides pleasure to Krishna. As parts of Krishna, we have a tiny bit of that Ladini Shakti in us. But we're mistaken by seeking pleasure in the material world. That's the problem. Our pleasure-seeking efforts are wrongly directed. Of course, Krishna never makes a mistake about seeking pleasure. Therefore, even when Krishna appears in this world, he never tries to enjoy the material energy. Even though it's his. For Krishna, everything is spiritual because he is the Supreme Personality Godhead. But in Bhagavad Gita, he asks you to see the difference between matter and spirit. We'll go on. And here, Sanatana Goswami's reply to Rupa, to Haridas Thakur's glorification. Sanatana is not just going to hear all that and not say anything back. Just see how these devotees are churning the ocean of loving exchanges. Oh, Haridas Thakur, who is equal to you? You are one of the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, you are the most fortunate. The mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, for which he has descended as an incarnation, is to spread the importance of chanting the holy name of the Lord. Now, instead of personally doing so, he is spreading it through you. My dear sir, you are chanting the holy name 300 times, 300,000 times daily, and informing everyone of the importance of such chanting. How many rounds is 300,000 holy names?
192.
192 rounds a day. Haridas Thakur was chanting. Just think about that. You are taking it as such a laborious task, 16 rounds. This is Haridas Thakur. 192 rounds a day without fail. That means he didn't sleep, in fact, he didn't eat, and just chanted almost 24 hours a day. That can't be imitated by conditioned souls. So Sanatana Goswami is pointing out, you are chanting and informing everyone of the importance of such chanting. Haridas Thakur, as the associate of Lord Chaitanya, is exemplifying the Yuga Dharma. You see, every Yuga has its preeminent process of perfection, attaining perfection. It's not that willy-nilly you can invent this way or that way. Well, I think Dharma should be this, or I think mantras should be that, or I think proper spiritual behavior is such and such. As Srila Prabhupada often point out, this kind of notion has ruined India. There are two things, he said, that ruined India. The concoction that you're a brahmana by birth, and the yatomat tatupa. Whatever path you take, it's all the same, gets the same goal. You don't find these conceptions anywhere in the Vedic text. Then Sanatana Goswami goes on to say a very important thing in his glorification of Haridas Thakur. Some behave very well, but do not preach the cult of Krishna consciousness, whereas others preach but do not behave properly. Now we get to today's verse. Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Dvaita Chandra Jai Gobhakta Vrinda.
Jai Dvaita Chandra Jai Gobhakta Vrinda.
Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Dvaita Chandra Jai Gobhakta Vrinda.
Jai Dvaita Chandra Jai Gobhakta Vrinda.
Jai Jai
Shri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jai Gaur Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jai Gaur Bhakta Vrinda.
Achara Prachara Namarat Kora Dvit Kaya.
Achara Prachara Namarat
Kora Dvit Kaya. Tumi Sarva Guru Tumi Jagat Tera Aya.
Tumi Sarva Guru Tumi Jagat Tera Aya.
Achara prachara name kara dvikarya.
Achara prachara name kara dvikarya.
Tumi sarva guru tumi jagat tera aya.
Tumi sarva guru tumi jagat tera aya.
Achara prachara name kara dvikarya.
Achara prachara name
Tumi sarva guru tumi jagat tera aya.
Tumi sarva guru tumi jagat tera aya.
Acharya prachara namir.
Not acharya, achara.
Achara prachara namir karaha duikarya.
Achara prachara namir karaha duikarya.
Tumi sarva guru tumi jagat tera aya.
Tumi sarva guru tumi jagat tera aya.
Achara prachara namala kala dui kaya.
Achara prachara namir kala dui kaya.
Tumi sarva guru tumi jagat tera aya.
Tumi sarva guru tumi jagat tera aya.
Achara prachara namir kala dui karjo.
Achara prachara namir kala dui kaya.
Tumi sarva guru tumi jagatera arjo.
Tumi sarva guru tumi jagatera arjo.
Vaishnavis.
Achara prachara name karaha duikarya.
Achara prachara name karaha duikarya.
Tumi sarva guru tumi jagatera arjo.
Tumi sarva guru tumi jagatera arjo.
Achara prachara name karaha duikarya.
Achara prachara name karaha duikarya.
Tumi sarva guru tumi jagatera arya.
Tumi sarva guru tumi jagatera arya.
Achara prachara name karaha duikarya.
Achara prachara name karaha duikarya.
Tumi sarva guru tumi jagatera arya.
Tumi sarva guru tumi jagatera arya.
Achara prachara.
Achara prachara.
Behaving well and preaching.
Behaving well and preaching.
Namera.
Namera.
Of the holy name.
Of the holy name.
Karaha.
Karaha.
You do.
You do.
Dvi.
Dvi.
Two. Karya.
Karya.
Works.
Works.
To me.
To me.
You.
You.
Sarva guru.
Sarva guru.
Everyone's spiritual master.
Everyone's spiritual master.
To me,
to me,
you,
you.
Jagat Tera Arya, the most advanced devotee within this world. Translation, Sanatana Goswami speaking to Haridas Thakur. You simultaneously perform both duties in relation to the holy name by your personal behavior and by your preaching. Therefore, you are the spiritual master of the entire world, for you are the most advanced devotee in the world. Purport. Sanatana Goswami clearly defines herein the bona fide spiritual master of the world. The qualifications expressed in this connection are that one must act according to the scriptural injunctions and at the same time preach. One who does so is a bona fide spiritual master. Haridas Thakur was the ideal spiritual master because he regularly chanted on his beads a prescribed number of times. Indeed, he was chanting the holy name of the Lord 300,000 times a day. 192 rounds. Similarly, the members of the Krishna consciousness movement chant a minimum of 16 rounds a day, which can be done without difficulty. And at the same time, they must preach the cult of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu according to the gospel of Bhagavad Gita as it is. One who does so is quite fit to become a spiritual master for the entire world. Om Agena Chimadandasya Gananjana Shlokaya Chakshun Malitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Jai Kanya Purutanada Sya Dvaita Gadara Asvasi Guru Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. In his glorification of Haridas Thakur Sanatana Goswami is laying down the foundation for proper being a proper spiritual master, spiritual guide. You must do two things simultaneously. And both duties are in relation to the holy name of Krishna. You, by your personal behavior, act accordingly, according to the codes of the Shastra. And at the same time, you distribute the holy name to others. You distribute knowledge of Krishna to others. So Sanatana has said, some behave very well, but they do not distribute. Others distribute, but they don't behave well. But you are doing both simultaneously. We're not asked to chant 192 rounds a day. But we are asked to chant a minimum of 16 rounds. Which, as Srila Prabhupada says, can be done without difficulty. Where might some difficulty come? We make the difficulty by complicating our lifestyle, having other priorities. At the same time that we are chanting at least 16 rounds a day, we must distribute the message of Bhagavad Gita as it is, as opposed to Bhagavad Gita as we would like it to be. Bhagavad Gita as it is means loving Krishna as he is, according to what he says we should do in order to love him. Someone who bases their life entirely on these two activities, as Prabhupada said, is quite fit to become a spiritual master for the entire world. We are stressing for you all proper behavior and distributing the spiritually scientific message of Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. By your example, please show that love is precise. It's not some kind of foggy, nebulous thing. Love is very precise. It's very painstaking. It's accurate. Indeed, that is the standard given by the Supreme Lover, Lord Krishna himself in Bhagavad Gita. He is very specific about how to attain love for him, how to revive your love for him, how do you behave. Who is a better authority on how to worship or serve or love Krishna than Krishna himself? In our behavior, we want to demonstrate Bhagavad Gita. And then people will see it's possible. Otherwise, people become confused. I hear this question so many times, Sunday after Sunday, workshop after workshop. Well, isn't everything spiritual in its own way? And don't all paths lead to the same goal? I say, okay, let's take that statement. All paths lead to the same goal. First, tell me what's the goal, and then we'll decide whether all paths go there. So what's the goal? Well, I guess the goal is enlightenment. Okay, what does that mean, enlightenment? So first you have to have a clear idea what the goal is. Then you can analyze whether all roads get to the goal. It's like if your goal is to get to Napier. First you establish that, and then we can see whether all roads will take you there. So there's neither knowledge of the goal, nor is there knowledge of the method. All that confusion is easily solved when we realize that love is precise, and Krishna, as the most expert lover, is the most precise. We can benefit so much by remembering this dialogue between Haridas Thakur and Sanatana Goswami. How they are. Each one is thinking, you are the most fortunate. I have no qualification. They're not just saying like that. They're actually feeling that with conviction. So Krishnas Kaviraja Goswami, the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita, goes on to describe, in this way, the two of them passed their time discussing subjects concerning Krishna. Thus, they enjoyed life together. Can you see yourself doing that? Passing time discussing Krishna Katha, subjects concerning Krishna, and enjoying life together? That is the basis of real friendship. That is the basis of real partnership. Discussing Krishna, service to Krishna. Thus they enjoy life together. What does Krishna say in Bhagavad Gita? The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are surrendered to me, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss conversing and enlightening one another about me. Machitama kataprana buryanta prasparam katayanchas tamam nityam tushyanti cha ramanti cha. Nityam, eternally, they enjoy in this way. So an impersonalist can't understand, what's the big deal about talking about Krishna? Because after all, what's so special about Krishna? Krishna is not just one of, we're all manifestations of Brahman, and Krishna is also a manifestation of Brahman, so Krishna is interesting. And he's a nice meditational device you can focus on to regain your awareness that you are the Supreme. Katayanchas chamam nityam. Krishna says, eternally they're talking about me. It's not just an activity of the material world, and then you get to the pure spiritual realm, and there's no Krishna, no talking about Krishna. Eternally talking about Krishna. This is your fate. Eternally discussing subjects concerning Krishna. In this way, Haridas Thakur and Sanatana Goswami enjoyed life together. So, this is the basis of our spiritual community. We don't want to find any limit, because there is no limit to discussing Krishna, discussing Krishna's service. Some of you I see are becoming so enlivened just by tasting the nectar of serving Krishna and discussing how to improve Krishna's service. That nectar is meant to be tasted along with the chanting of Hare Krishna, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. Take the whole package of nectar. It is all spiritual, but still, even amongst things that are all spiritual, you have to have discrimination. You can't say cleaning for Krishna is as spiritual as chanting Hare Krishna, therefore I'll just clean all day and I won't chant. No, you have to be guided in spiritual activities. You can't lose your discrimination. I think this is what bugs people, that if you take to spiritual life, why do you have to have so much discrimination? I mean, it's after all, we're spiritual, you know? Why does it need to be discrimination? Discrimination is part of material life. you have to be careful what you do, analyze, you have to know what you're doing. But once you get to the spiritual platform, you just with that song by John Lennon, Instant Karma, we all shine on and on and on. No, as we said again and again, love is the most precise thing. If you can just understand that, you'll be able to make some headway with Bhakti Yoga. Love involves discrimination for the sake of the beloved. None of you, as we often point out, want a relationship or dream of a relationship which there's no discrimination. You know, you for yourself, in terms of your material ambitions, you want the most discriminating lover. Someone who is so precise in understanding your moods and your desires, and so precise in fulfilling your moods and desires. That's what you dream of. But for Krishna, oh, whatever, it's all spiritual, you know. No. Bhakti is more precise than any experience in the material existence. That is the basis of love. Precision and discrimination for the sake of satisfying the senses of the beloved. Krishna's senses are purely spiritual. Originally, our senses are spiritual. But we are artificially covered by matter, and therefore we get everything confused. By chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, which is the recommendation of the scriptures, you uncover your spiritual identity. Your spiritual senses start to work again. So Haridas Thakur and Stan Goswami enjoyed life together in this way. And we can get a glimpse into the platform of real personal relations by relishing their exchange. A devotee is always in awe of the other devotees. A devotee always appreciating other devotees. Even they may have some fault in their maturing process. Still, you'll always find something to glorify about a devotee. Finally, we hear how Snan Goswami stayed in Jagannath Puri and the devotees from Bengal arrived for the Rath Yatra festival during the 4 months of the rainy season. Lord Chaitanya introduced Sanatana Goswami to all of his associates from Bengal. A long list of most glorious personalities, including Advaitacharya and Nityananda Prabhu. The Lord asked Sanatana Goswami to offer obeisances to all the devotees, and he introduced Sanatana Goswami to all the devotees just to make him an object of their mercy. This is how important the blessings of devotees are. How important they are. Lord Chaitanya is introducing. Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Personality of God himself. Chana Avatar, as explained in the 7th canto of Bhagavatam, hidden incarnation. Yet, he's introducing Sanatana Goswami to the Vaishnavas, to the devotees. Please make him an object of your mercy. Sanatana Goswami was dear to everyone because of his exalted qualities in learning. Suitably, therefore, they bestowed upon him their mercy, friendship, and honor. Exalted qualities in learning. There's nothing cheap or unnecessary about acquiring spiritual knowledge, because real love is the most knowledgeable, precise thing. If you're truly interested in love, you want to know all about the beloved and all the best methods for pleasing the beloved. Love is not just a casual thing, you just wing it, you know? You just... like the old pop songs would say, something's got a hold of me. Oh, it must be love. It's not like that. The love bug has bitten me. Love is like an itching in my heart, tearing it all apart. Yeah, it's not like that. Love is the most learned, knowledgeable thing because of the precision. Bhakti yoga is the technology of love, applied science of love. So the associates of Lord Chaitanya bestowed upon Sanatana Goswami Kripa, mercy, Maitri, friendship, and Gaurava, honor. We want our association to be like that. We want to be able to offer mercy, friendship, and honor. The purpose of a spiritual community is to do that. The members should be qualified enough to make others the object of their mercy. And so that those who seek Krishna consciousness should feel that they are being bestowed with mercy, friendship, and honor. At first you have to be merciful and friendly and honorable to yourself. So that's where so much effort is applied in the beginning and the middle. You become qualified to be merciful and friendly and honorable to yourself. Have integrity in terms of yourself. Don't abuse yourself. Don't distort yourself. Don't sell yourself short, so to speak. Once you are properly established in Krishna consciousness, then indeed you can offer mercy, friendship, and honor to others. So please let this section containing this discussion between Sanatana Goswami and Haridasa Thakura inspire you.